Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody don't get a chance to play in the playoffs. Everybody don't get a chance to prolong their season week by week. So you have to be turned up. You know, you got to flush everything that happened, and you got to just detail and hone in on this, because if you go get this one and be on to the next, nobody's going to worry about the last month. Nobody's going to worry about all the things we need to fix. We just got to go out here and play ball.
The perfect soundbite from our producer today, intern Dom, with Donnie filling in on the Starkey Show. The perfect way to kick off a playoff football Friday with a message from Steelers corner Dante Jackson. Everybody got to get turned up for this one because the topic of getting turned up, as they say, is really the thing that is on my mind right now. Are fans turned up? Am I saying it the right way, or do I sound like the whitest man in America when I put it that way? Dom, am I saying it correctly? Do I need to put more effect on any letter or part of turnt?
No, I think it's good.
I have an opinion on this. Okay. Hello, how are you guys?
Hi,
Dom,
Chris.
Great to see you on a big time
Friday.
Do you
like the way I'm saying turnt?
I think you're doing it. I think there's a pacing problem here, and there's a verb. There is a pronunciation problem. When you say, hello, kids, I'd like to get turnt up. That sounds bad. Like if you say, hey, kids, is everybody in this club getting tipsy? That sounds bad. You got to go like everybody in the club, or you got to say turn up. Like you have to say it fast. You have to say it in a way that makes it seem like you've said it before.
Am I inventing a T on the end of it? Is there a T? T-U-R-N-T?
Like here, I'll try to say it. Everybody got to get turned up. That sounds better than...
Oh, man, you sounded like a total badass. Oh, man.
Dom, who
here
said
comes
it?
Chris Muller,
it's
Mr.
like one
cool.
of those who did it better.
Yeah, Malzy did it better. You do say
hello,
it a little too
hello,
slow.
Hello, children. It's like the Steve Buscemi meme. Hello, fellow kids. And he's got the skateboard over his shoulder, his hat
Rock.
On backwards. Oh, yep. I didn't even know it was from 30 Rock Pony. I didn't know you like network
so,
TV.
Dante Jackson is saying, clean slate, fresh start, new season. And it's against a team everybody hates. A reason to circle the wagons, rally the troops, and all get into this together tomorrow night. But I thought Josh Yowie had a very good tweet on this because it's something I have also long believed in. Josh, Penguins insider, but just a big Pittsburgh sports fan when he's not covering that team. He sends out sometimes very critical tweets of the Steelers, which I appreciate that he isn't. Usually it's trying to, you have the positivity of Kabali, and Josh tries to balance that out.
I think Josh oftentimes does a very good job of balancing that out, maybe too good of a job.
There's an odd couple quality with those two.
Josh is a little protective of the Penguins, though, I think.
When people try to go at them.
Right, when
so,
people crush them, then Josh closes ranks a little
bit. There's a battle
bit
there.
It's a real Mon Valley duel to the death.
But anyways, Josh did something for this game that I have long believed in. He administered the Giant Eagle test. He put this game to the Giant Eagle test. Dom, did you see his tweet on this?
Who?
Yowie.
I did not.
The Giant Eagle test.
You're doing a much better job saying Giant Eagle test than you did with Turnt. The Giant Eagle test.
I've never sensed less enthusiasm in Pittsburgh for a Steelers playoff game in my life, says Josh. Walked around Giant Eagle and didn't see a person wearing a Steelers shirt or jersey, which you usually can't even say in May. Let alone the week of a playoff game. He's right. I'm going into this game with no expectations. And I blame Mike Tomlin for that. That might sound like a surprise to you.
shocked, actually. Fetch me my fainting couch.
I blame Mike Tomlin because even though the Steelers have a favorable history against the Ravens, they're playing them in the playoffs now. And I don't believe in Mike Tomlin come playoff time. And I especially don't believe in him without a quarterback I trust and without an offensive game plan that I believe in. So this arrangement or setup in the playoffs is something that is now old hat for us. We're the underdog. We're the hunter. We're the team that is given no shot. And this has happened now three straight times in the playoffs. The first time against the Chiefs, I thought they would make it a game with Ben, his swan song. Wrong. Last year, you remember, I said, you know what? Fool me once, shame on you, or shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I said, I'm not going for the Steelers against Buffalo. We don't even have TJ Watt. And then the league screwed the Steelers by moving the game and it wasn't played in a snowstorm. Now it's the third time. Same exact scenario. Gigantic underdog. One team is viewed as a Super Bowl contender. We're looked at as the team that's just happy to get invited to the party, per se. Mm-hmm. I'm not falling for it. They've got to show me or prove to me that they're actually up to the challenge. I hear way too many fans on our station say, put the cart before the horse, say they're going to win the game. But I think, generally speaking, Josh is right. That most fans, I'm reading the room accurately, I think most fans are like, I will watch the game, I will cheer for the Steelers, I will want them to win, of course. But I'm not allowing myself to get overly jacked up and hyped for this game because I don't want to look like an idiot at about 11:30 Saturday night and have talked myself into the Steelers are going to win and the final score is they lose by three touchdowns.
Oh, don't worry about that. You'll have done something to make yourself look like an idiot by 11:30, even if it's not, you know, Steelers related. You'll have sent a tweet.
The giant eagle test.
You know what I'm disappointed about with this game? I'm disappointed it's not on Sunday because then somebody could follow up Yoey's very highly scientific giant eagle test with the church test. How many Steelers?
Oh, church test big as well.
But
I agree.
Church, but you can only go to like an early 4:30 mass or something and find out the church test. If we had a Sunday night or
Don,
dare I
you
say
also
a Monday
been a believer
game,
in the church test.
The church test is an infallible test.
You show up. Who's got a Roethlisberger jersey on? Who's got a Troy jersey on?
Dom, you know this. You run the church test. You see, you got a fair number of like Farrier jerseys coming out in church there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's always interesting to see what players walk into the pews.
Casey Hampton here, so you know, celebrating mass with me. I think
my expectations are basically none, Chris, for this game.
I'm not letting myself get suckered in.
Set the bar as low as possible, yes, and then hope that this team is actually able to clear them.
I don't really have a great feeling that they're going to even have a close game after 15 minutes. The last four games, what have they been outscored by in the first quarter? 40-3. 40-3, man.
And we've heard the first quarter playoff stats over and over again. 66-0.
Yes, I've heard 56 and 66. Anyway.
Some people don't count the Patriots one for some reason.
Whatever. I look at them, and I look at the way that they are trending, and I'm not going to get suckered in by what I think is the main thing that is suckering people in, and it's the Ravens' familiarity and the Lamar Jackson familiarity and the largely like successful run they've had against Lamar Jackson at keeping him down, or Lamar Jackson's overall playoff struggles. The Ravens, by you know certain metrics you want to go to, there are people who think they're the best team in football this year. Like, if you want to follow some of the more advanced numbers, like the Football Outsiders types, they think that that's the best team in football and that the Steelers are essentially a fraud and a pretender. And
That's a big F word there, fraud.
If they had even beaten the Bengals in, I'm not even going to say somewhat impressive fashion, if they had just, like, beaten them in a fashion that didn't look like for three quarters like complete garbage, and then they, you know, would have rallied last week and won 20-19 if they get the field goal off. If they win like 27-17, I even feel better. They've given me and they've given you and they've given, I think, sober-minded Steelers fans no reason to believe in them. None. I mean, it really is the Mad TV lowered expectation sketch.
I don't think I ever saw that. I was more of an SNL guy. Although I do like that Mad TV Star Wars thing.
It's their only famous one. It's just, yeah, it's lowered expectations.
Where Randy Newman starts writing songs for Star Wars. Have you ever seen
that,
Dom?
How did that one go?
I don't think so. This is an SNL thing?
Like the Mos Eisley, no, is he in the Mos Eisley Cantina doing like
I don't
the,
remember.
But no, I just, man, it's honestly at the point, and this is a really sad thing for me as an observer, and this is just me trying to like take in all that the Steelers have shown me and everything else. If this game is a tie game after one quarter, or like, dare I say the Steelers are somehow like winning 7-3 or 10-7?
Yeah.
I'll be practically dumbfounded. I'd be over the moon because I wouldn't feel like the game was already in hand for Baltimore. Like, that would be a win for me if the Steelers win the first quarter or even tie it.
It would be, but I still
But think
be,
about what I'm saying,
I
Pony.
Know. I would still exercise extreme caution,
no,
though,
I'm,
because
I wouldn't think
of what
they
happened
were
in the Kansas
game.
City game where they went up 7-0 and ended up giving up five straight touchdowns.
I wouldn't
unanswered.
Even feel like they were going to win the game. It just, they've been off to such bad starts with this season lately and overall in the playoffs. It would feel like a small but real victory if the game didn't feel done after 15 minutes or played.
We've had 3, 6, 8 of our experts come on and pick the game. I'm including Donnie in that.
Oh, he's an expert.
And only one of them has picked a game that's closer than a touchdown, and that was Jeff, who said 24-21. Fittipaldo said 38-17. Pomp, who, you know, I think everyone thinks Pomp screams positivity. Pomp's always usually a believer, glass half full guy. He said 8-point loss. So, I mean, that helps you with your bookie or your FanDuel account if they lose by 8, but are you really going to take any solace or comfort in a touchdown defeat or 8-point loss Saturday night into Sunday morning? I'm not.
Congratulations, we covered.
So, yeah, so it's just, I think Josh is right. I mean, I thought the morning show, what they attempted to do today was basically, let's do our damnedest to get you excited for this game. You're wallowing in self-pity about the Steelers.
We're going to fire you up.
You're down in the dumps. We're going to throw all this stuff at you. Crowley's going to pick the Steelers to win. We're going to play the Here We Go song. We're going to do all those things.
Text I got while the morning show was on the air. The morning show today is the radio version of Russ's toxic positivity.
Oh, wow.
Somebody who does not buy the Steelers in this game said they're trying their damnedest and it just isn't
coming
off
sincere.
Was it Harry
Callis? Was it a call from inside the hen house?
No, it was
that?
Not. No, he was asking when the Yankees game is or something like that.
You know, I bought Harry Callis a Derek Jeter jersey as a way of saying thank you for all the good work he's done here, and I've never seen him wear it. I'm going to take offense to that. That wasn't cheap. Jerseys aren't cheap. Jerseys are low-key expensive,
and
by the way, we
always know, though, that you are a bargain hunter.
Like, I feel like jerseys are the most expensive things in my wardrobe if you actually go by the price that you pay for them, because you never get them on sale.
See, that's why I feel like one of the good things for me is I've never really had the urge to be the guy who wears the jerseys. It's the one piece of crossover John Steigerwald and I have, although I'm not as militant about it
it's
as he is.
It's not chemtrails? Interesting.
I think you might have the wrong Steig there.
Oh, I thought both believed in it. No?
They might.
Anyways.
Do our listeners know what chemtrails are purported to be?
Steelers and Ravens is almost here. What are your expectations for tomorrow night? Are you actually going into this game thinking the Steelers are going to shock the world and win the game? 412-928-9370. Are you one of these people like me that Josh Yowie is talking about, who need to see something happen before getting back on the bandwagon? A non-believer because of Tomlin, because the quarterback he has right now, because of his offensive plan, because of his failures in playoff games, because he is a defensive coach, and his defense has given up more than 30 points in 5 straight playoff losses. It's the only team that's done that in NFL history. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. We purposefully set it up so it's wide open right now to take your calls. I have the manila folder to write down the predictions of some of our big-time callers. So if they get it right, we'll have it on record, and they can call back in next week and say, Pony, Mueller, you nimrods, I told you so. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Does this song help get the juices flowing? You hear this, you're starting to think, hey, T.J. Watt's going to have a breakout game. George Pickens is going to have his head screwed on straight. Mike Tomlin's going to take smart pills, not stupid pills, before the playoffs. His defense is going to rise up and not give up 30-plus. They're actually going to show up when the ball is kicked off. Have a big first quarter. Heck, they might even score on the opening possession.
The church test is just going. I'm still responding to a lot of church test takes.
Okay, that's a no. You're just you're pivoting and moving the goalpost to something else. Not even AC/DC gets you up for this game. That's the Mike Tomlin effect. Sorry,
Pony,
Mike.
It's not even just
him. You
ruined
it for us, Mikey T.
I guess it is him because it straddles different groups of players, different quarterbacks. Just give me a competitive first quarter. I guess they did technically against Kansas City, but the roof was going to cave in that game. Give me something that feels... Yeah. Now, is this the old AC/DC singer or the new one?
I think it's the old one.
This is the original.
Because how long into their run did, what was his name, Brian Johnson or whatever? How long did he drink? How long in were they when he drank himself to death or whoever their original singer
Dom's
was?
Dom's an authority now on AC/DC?
Well, Jeff in South Park will hear this and he'll
tweet me. I love AC/DC.
All right, turn it up right here. Here it goes, Mousy. Eat your heart out, Mozart. You never composed this.
No, this
song
is Bon
like this.
Scott.
All right.
When I played soccer in high school, we did these things called thunder runs where they would play this song in the stadium, and every time he said thunder, we'd have to drop and do a push up.
No.
That sounds like it sucks. You know, it's more fun a drinking game with that.
Roxanne, a good one too for the drinking game.
Some of the texts that have come in on this, we'll get to calls, have said, Pony, everything you're saying is right about Mike Tomlin, but they're playing the Ravens. The Ravens, the saving grace here. The Ravens, the magic elixir to what ails the Steelers in the playoffs. Yes.
I'll tell you one thing that isn't going to stand as a magic elixir, it looks like, for them. The weather, which at least threatened to muck things up in this game to aid Mike Tomlin in his stated desire, I would imagine, to turn this into two pigs rolling around in the slop. It seems like the weather is going to be reasonably clear for this game, which is not to the Steelers' advantage. Yes? What are you smirking about?
No, it's
there?
Just some of the people I see on hold are getting me excited.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I want to... Oh, boy. Oh, boy, do we have Murderer's Row lined up.
Let's start with Mike and Braddock. Hello, Mike.
And what?
Mike and Braddock's on the fan. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, 29-17 Steelers.
Okay, I'm writing that down. Now, are you sober right now? I should probably ask that, too. I can put an asterisk down if you're drunk.
I'm sober.
Okay, what is the biggest reason why they're going to win?
The Steelers, first of all. I mean, but...
Oh, yes, the Steelers. They've done great in the playoffs lately.
Yeah,
oh, that's
usually
a great answer.
Mike, I would accept that answer if you were predicting a 40-3 Ravens
win. The Steelers.
Win.
They haven't won a Super Bowl since 2008. You know what I'm saying.
40-3 Ravens win? I would never predict that.
I'm just saying, if you predicted a Ravens win and said they're the Steelers, it would make more sense because they haven't done anything in the playoffs lately.
There's always time for new things, right? There's always room for change.
Yeah, maybe the Browns will win the Super Bowl next year while you're at it.
Okay, so we dominated for years, and then you take a little time off. I mean, it goes both ways.
They got one of the longest win droughts in the NFL right now.
Okay, and it's not the first time, won't be the last time, right? I mean, there's longer, and then you win a Super Bowl, right?
So you're racking this up to their due.
You're an eternal optimist, man.
Their due. It's their time.
Yes.
All right.
It's always it's always darkest before the dawn. This is when they will finally rise up in the playoffs and the Ravens will bring the best out of them.
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Pony, I was just perplexed because at first you pulled a Starkey and called it Braddock.
Oh, did I?
Yes, sorry, it was very distracting.
Like Tommy Maddox.
The caller screen has somehow gotten even better.
I agree.
I am just amazed by what we have staring at
so
us.
So did
here.
He say 30-17 Steelers?
He said 29-17. Fake John and Robinson has already informed me he has done the whole bet the exact score bit of 30-16.
Who?
Ravens, of course.
Of course, yeah. I'm surprised he didn't. Did he deduct points because they got rid of Deontay Johnson?
No, he admitted like actual defeat on that one. It took him a while, but he did admit defeat.
Mac is next. Hello, Mac.
Yo, what's up? What's up, Pony?
Hey, Mac.
Yeah, I'm predicting 21-18 Pittsburgh.
Return of the Mac.
Hey, I'm going back to your segment. Remember, we ain't got no respect for the Ravens around here. And I look at, remember at the very beginning of the season, we had all these pessimistic talk show hosts calling Cowherd and all of them talking about the Steelers. This is going to be a losing season for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers.
True.
So I got them, like you said, shocking the world this Saturday, tomorrow. Now, I mean, coming out with a 21-18 victory.
Mac, can I ask you something? Have you gone grocery shopping at all this week? Have you conducted the Giant Eagle test here to see how many Steelers jerseys you've seen out and about?
I don't shop at Giant Eagles at all.
Oh, geez, man.
All right, then.
Shot at one of our sponsors.
Maybe the grocery store test next time.
That was kind of a low blow. I don't think that was necessary.
What is going on this show right now?
I don't know.
The call screen is just turning into an absolute minefield.
The text line is also a battlefield right now. So are the YouTube comments. After Penn State's loss last night, Johnny the Barber is in a very good mood. He's
a bully.
He's put out some very, very, very nasty things about Texas fans and Texas Keith.
Yeah, there's been a lot of punches being traded in our mentions right now.
He said, I just got done giving Texas Keith's wife a buzz cut. That seems mean.
He's been sending pictures of like a longhorn with a deformed steer with a deformed horn, or horns taken from a deceased longhorn. He's been going after it here.
With a chance to respond, here is Texas Keith on the fan. Hello, Texas Keith.
Hello, fellas. I'm all excited for the game. I'm immersed in longhorn hot dog water right now.
Hello, Texas Keith. It's really, your voice sounds different from the last time I saw you.
Has Texas Keith conducted
the... It's got bass in it. It's got bass and testosterone behind it. It's manly.
Has Texas Keith done the Texas Keith study for Steelers Ravens? Pick the team that has the most players from the state of Texas on each roster?
Well, that, of course, I didn't get a chance to look at Johnny the Barber's BFF, but
for those who don't know, BFF is Barber Football Focus.
Yes, and it just counts up Ohio State players on both sides, which should be a good sign for the Steelers against the Ravens, because Cam Hayward, a proud Ohio State man, was just named an All-Pro at 35 years old today.
A man amongst boys, man. I wish we had him. I wish we had someone like Cam Hayward tonight when we play the Ohio State.
Yeah, true.
So you got to think your team is going down in flames to Johnny the Barber's team, right, Texas Keith?
Oh yeah, we're going down faster than Dominic on tequila.
All right, thank you. I probably should have kept him to say anything else. Hook him. here is Bobby on the fan. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? I got a prediction for you.
Let's hear it.
It's wild card weekend. They're going to Baltimore. They're going to play the favorites. Who you going to call? Top Dog Boss. That's right, Top Dog Boss. When you're in trouble and you're going to unfriendly confines and you need some lifted spirits, call Top Dog Boss. Pittsburgh Steelers 18, Baltimore Ravens 17.
Thank you, Bobby. They're going to put a clamp in the Ravens.
I mean, this is the best early run of calls we've had in months, if not longer, on this show.
Yeah.
This has been terrific.
Let's see if JB can keep it going. Hello, JB. All Steelers predictions so far. Let's see if JB wants to go the other way. JB?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. You don't sound like you're all that enthused.
Well, let me tell you something. This is the first time I ever called a radio station.
Congratulations
on our success for you calling us.
Yes, on breaking up your caller virgin status.
I got three suggestions to the Steelers victory this weekend.
Okay.
One of them is Russell Wilson. Don't be under center when you're going to throw the fucking ball.
Okay, you can't say that. Already you're 0-for-1 here.
You don't have to. We caught it, Dom, so I think we could still take some calls because we hit that one immediately.
what was You want to retract what you said about the run on calls here, Malzie?
He's a first timer. Beginner's bad luck, right? I mean, he doesn't know the rules.
I got it, Dom. Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry, Dom. We got that one. That one was caught with immediate speed.
I mean, I heard it and I was like,
"Can I
whoa.
Also just no, I'm not going to say this part out loud on the air. I'm going to wait until we're in a break and I'll bring it up to you."
Oh, boy.
Here is Rich in Wilkes-Barre. Hello, Rich.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, man.
We're good, Rich.
I see the Ravens winning. I just don't trust Tomlin.
So you're with me.
Yeah. I look at it like you hear every year he has a winning record. And, well, look at the teams that he brought in, you know, that got the winning record. He's the one that makes these teams. So
what do you mean? Oh, he, like, puts the team together, you're saying. Like, he has a lot to do in the players they bring in and draft and sign and stuff and whatever else.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like, they'll say, well, look, you know, they make it seem like he...
The national media absolutely makes it seem like, Rich, like he is handed the groceries, so to speak, from the general manager and the owner, and he has to make the best of it. And the truth of the matter is he is intimately involved in that process as any coach with his tenure would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll even say this about Kabali, who we know is like apparently blowing sunshine where the sun don't shine for everybody predicting a win. Kabali did send a tweet out that I think is 100% accurate, just pointing out there's a massive national blind spot when they act like Mike has been he's been thrust into a situation where he can't find a good or they can't find him a good quarterback. And Mark has correctly pointed out he has huge amounts of agency in who they pick.
Here is Wade on the fan. Hello, Wade.
Hi, guys. Great
hey,
show as always.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate both your opinions and your insights. I'm trying to be very positive about this game, but this big black cloud of, oh, God, we're in the playoffs needs to stop because, you know, we were talking about how we didn't even get to the playoffs a couple of years. I know we're getting our doors beat off, but, like, let's have a shop and save perspective. I know that you brought up Giant Eagle. Let's go there, hopefully on Sunday, mm-hmm. and then take a look at what the rest of the playoffs look like if we do get out of Baltimore.
Oh, if they win, if they win, then this team will have captured the hearts of everybody here, and the bandwagon will be loaded to the gills. People will have to sit on each other's laps in order for everybody to fit. But they have to do it first. I'm not going to subscribe to this is the time they get it done when all they've done is given me reason both this year and the last few years to doubt them.
Yeah, it's kind of like trying not to get dumped by the hottest girl at school. Just waiting around till Monday. So, no, great show, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Wade.
Waiting around till Monday.
Here's someone that has experience with getting dumped. Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, come on. That's wrong.
That's a low blow, man.
It is, man. He chose violence on a Friday, Jeff.
You can say that, but of all the people that call into our show, you seem to volunteer information from your love
That's
life
true.
Where things went awry more than anyone else.
That is true, Jeff. Which makes
many,
you a great
many,
character
many
on the show.
Ago. Many moons ago.
It makes you a terrific radio caller that you're willing to put yourself out there like that with us.
Yes, and I know you're mining for material or whatever.
No, we're not. We just want a good, solid, honest American prediction from Jeff
and South Park. I don't disagree with that. I always mine for material. I don't look at that as having any negative connotation.
One of us has to at least try to keep up the facade that we're not mining for material, Pony. Now, Jeff, do you give us, are we being negative Nancy's? Because one
well,
thing
hold
about
on.
You
make
is.
A, let's have him make a prediction first.
Well, I was getting to that. Well,
let him cast aspersions afterwards and put his final score out there first.
Two things. First of all, Yoey actually responded to my tweet because I responded to his saying that I'll be wearing my Rocky Blyer jersey tomorrow at Giant Eagle. I'm just not out and about today. And he said, I respect that. Mm. So that's cool. And I've never
also,
worn my
Jeff,
Rocky Blyer
also,
jersey
Jeff,
before.
Though, this is the one you wanted for Christmas. So congratulations on all your holiday success for getting one.
Yes,
also, though,
is.
I love that Jeff, like, to show his Steelers support, has to bring up a guy who played 45 years ago. He's
well,
not
I'm
wearing George Pickens.
I'm trying to change up the mojo because I've never worn it before. This will be the first time. Because early in the season, I was wearing Bradshaw all year, and that seemed to work pretty well. I got the Cam Hayward on my birthday. I wore it to the Browns game, which was the day of my birthday, and we won. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a good luck jersey. And then that was the last game that they've won so far this year.
All right, so Blyer jersey tomorrow.
Jersey
you're belaboring the point because I think you're going to let us down gently and say the Ravens win a close game. Is that accurate?
It is. Yeah, I'm thinking the defense is going to show up and do its job, but I just the way it's trending, I have no faith in the offense. I could see Pickens also kind of sabotaging it from within. If he's already made up his mind that he wants out of this, like you talk about a call from within the hen house, I could see him turning in a performance similar to last week. I'm going to say 20-16 Ravens, and also that is definitely not Bon Scott singing that song. Come on, Chris.
Is it Brian Johnson doing that one?
Yes, it is, because Bon Scott's only on the first five AC/DC albums, and believe it or not, Thunderstruck is a little bit later in their career.
Is Thunderstruck the type of song that does get Jeff in South Park up for these games?
So I've actually always found that song to be overrated. I know people who, like, that's their favorite AC/DC song, and I'm just like, man, they got... To me, that song is a great intro, because it is an undeniably great intro with that guitar part, very well crafted. But the rest of that song is just very meh. You know,
I actually think I agree with you, Jeff.
Jeff and South Park bringing the heat today.
I've put it on some running mixes before, and I'm like, yeah, here comes the intro. And then halfway through the song, I'm like, all right, is this one over yet?
Definitely rallied for me bringing up all of his love life failures by the end of the call. Nicely done. We would like to see the Steelers do that a little bit more on the gridiron. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. No, I'd say beginning wasn't good, ending much better. That hasn't happened in a very long time for them. All right, get more of your thoughts here. What are your expectations for tomorrow night? We're now getting maybe this, you know, they talk about this with elections. Here comes this late dump of votes. Getting a lot of Steelers positivity here. Is that how you feel? I won't go there because I don't trust Tomlin in a big spot. 412-928-9370. Our view from the other side will include a clip coming back with your calls of a Ravens football guy mocking the Steelers.
You know the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
Are Ravens fans nervous for this game?
Be totally honest, no. They feel pretty confident going into this game. Just because the Steelers lost four in a row, the Ravens have won four in a row. Steelers hadn't played well. Steelers' offense has not been playing well. The Ravens fans feel pretty comfortable right now.
That is Vinny Serrato, former NFL GM, now works in Baltimore on the Ravens' big talker, the fan there. And that I would like to put a cork in. That would make me feel really satisfied. That would add to the win Saturday night.
Harbaugh saying flowers will be ready next week or we'll monitor next week, man.
Ravens arrogance and Ravens hubris.
It would be nice.
There is a lot of that going on. If they lose to the Steelers and they beat themselves with self-inflicted wounds,
a slop fest game.
I'm absolutely going to say that they overlooked the Steelers and looked past them.
You think Tomlin has made a big deal about the flowers thing?
Yeah.
To his team?
He should.
I agree. If the good Mike Tomlin is, he gets his team to play their absolute best sometimes against really good competition, man. I would have those Harbaugh comments like running on a loop.
Chuck Knoll wasn't above that. That first Super Bowl run when Oakland beat Miami. And John Madden said the two best teams in the NFL were on the field today, and we won. Chuck Knoll brought that right to his team. He wasn't exactly thought of as a master motivator. So, yeah, right now it calls for stuff like that. Do whatever you can to find that hidden edge in a game like this. Try to rile your team up. Absolutely. Play that Vinny Serrato clip. Get into that big boardroom that they show on Hard Knocks and say, listen to this guy. Listen to this dum-dum. Listen to this nitwit.
I wonder if it's a little different for them and for Mike going into this game because it is the Ravens, though. Like, he knows he's been a huge underdog in some of these games.
He said that. He said that this week when he was talking about his playoff utility. He said, well, this one's different because I know these guys. I know how to beat them.
The Chiefs are, like, the worst matchup possible for them, it seems like, because Reed just has his number. The Bills hasn't been a good matchup when they've seen him, you know, now in the playoffs, but... Man, I want to believe, dude. I want to believe Mike's going to get, I know it's one playoff win. I want to believe he's going to get kind of a nice little signature recent victory where, hey, I'm a double-digit dog in this game. No one is giving me a chance. And, hey, we actually deliver. the goods for once.
Here is Hunter in Houston. Hello, Hunter.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, man. Good to talk to you again, Hunter. I'm writing your name down so I can get your official prediction.
Yeah, I'm going to go 34-17 Baltimore. I think they're going to smash us, guys. I know that we've, you know, over the last 10, whatever the record is, that's fine and dandy. That last one left a really bad taste in my mouth when we played them. And real quick, before you guys cut me, one thing. I'm a massive Ohio State fan. I never talk about it with you guys because usually it's Steelers.
Yes.
But you guys cut off my man, Johnny the Barber, and didn't let him get the OHIO. Well, that's really devastating.
That's because it wasn't him. That was Texas Keith. It might have sounded like Johnny the Barber, but that was...
Yeah, the rival. I totally forgot
that. That was actually Texas Keith.
It just sounded like him. Texas Keith perhaps trying to pull a fast one, sounding like Johnny the Barber.
Yeah. Left a bad taste in his mouth about the last game.
Do you know why that last game left a bad taste in my mouth? Because I actually felt like for the first half, even with like Wilson's fumble and with other stuff happening, they had battled. Like I thought, wow, they're playing them on surprisingly even terms. And then I think what that game put in my head is how quickly Baltimore can turn on like the Jets big time and just run away from them. It's like a sobering thought to know that that's possible.
So I wrote down, by the way, I have my notes from that game. Two things on my notes that stand out. The first one is, after the pick six, when it was 31-17, when Humphrey picked off Russ, I just, when they had that give up punt, I just stopped taking notes then. Where they waved the white flag in that game, and it was another one of those should go for it.
Well, because he had previously in that game gone for it aggressively.
And I just said, you know what? Screw this. I'm done caring about this game. But I just looked back and saw what I wrote down for their opening possession. So much is being made about the way they start playoff games and have started games all season.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers punt, I wrote down. 3 and out. 2 Najee runs. And then on 3rd and 2, when empty set with guess who? Cordarrelle Patterson in the game. I mean, that really is a microcosm of what has me not ebullient or excited or eager to see what's going to happen, because of crap like that. Let's run it against the best run defense in the NFL, and then when we actually make it 3rd and short, let's put Jabroni Cordarrelle Patterson in the game. That's why I said I blame Tomlin for me not being stoked for this game. I don't trust the way his quarterback's playing right now, and so much of postseason success hinges on that guy, and their offensive game plans reek, man.
Well, that's the thing that I think comes back to him.
They smell like hairy butt.
You spend a lot of time smelling hairy butt?
I've seen my fair share.
I know, but why would you say it smells like it?
Because hairy butts usually smell worse because the sweat mixes with hair, and wet hair doesn't smell well. You've smelled wet dog, I presume.
Man, you are taking this in a weird direction. I don't like their game plans because Mike did get gun shy when Russ started turning the ball over, and now the whole thing is snowballed where I don't think he's going to let Russ do the one thing that he is still pretty good at when he gets time.
15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. More of your calls. What are your expectations for tomorrow night? Steelers, Ravens, 412-928-9370. And what would a win do for Mike Tomlin with you, the Steelers fan? Quick timeout, and we're right back on the Fan.